All right, everybody, welcome back to an all-new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. We have again with us today the lovely pleasure of being joined by the Batman.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno, buenos dias, señor Batchild. What's up, man? You got a haircut, huh? You looking fresh?
I got a haircut since I also gave up on winter. It was time to get some air around my head and
I gave up on winter. Winter doesn't have a chance with me anymore.
Yeah. And so I got rid of all this, the masses of wool around my head.
Have you ever seen those videos of the sheep in the mountains that have never been trimmed before? I always thought these animals have a natural limit to how much wool they produce because otherwise it would be impossible for them to survive. But apparently not. Apparently they just keep growing.
Yeah. I often thought about this also with other animals because you think about a dog. Like a dog has always a certain type of fur, like length. Like
yeah.
Some dog are furrier. Less long fur, but it always like stays the same. You don't have to bring your dog to a barber shop like every few weeks. It just like stays in a certain limit.
Yeah.
Sheep not, yeah. And I've seen these videos. It's also so crazy how like through the tidings and weather and regarding where they're standing is like the outer like it peels itself a little bit and the outer shells are like growing hard and wet and nasty.
Dude, still to this day, the most rewarding visual of a dog getting a haircut, still to this day, of all the oddly satisfying internet compilations of like satisfying things, the most satisfying video I've ever seen of a dog getting any kind of haircut is still in that amazing film, Edward Scissorhands, where towards the end, he's at a low point. The townspeople are just about to chase him with like torches and pitchforks back to his castle where he came from. But he's at this low point where he thinks he's disappointed Winona Ryder, and he ran away, and he's scared, and he sits down on a porch, like on this driveway next to the road, and the neighbor's dog, who is this type of breed that always has the hair hanging over the eyes. I don't know what breed. It's like this big white dog with hair, like very shaggy over the face. And I don't know. I guess they did it in real life because it looks so perfectly real. He must have just done it and been super careful. But the dog comes over to like comfort him in his sad time. And Edward Scissorhands looks over and with his scissor hands, leans over and just perfectly just snips the hair that's like sitting just above his eyes. It's one clean like shk, and it's a perfect square around his eyes where he can see. And I always find that so satisfying, like, yes, now you can see, buddy, now you can see everything.
Yeah,
it's so clean, man. I love it, dude. We have I have so many things to tell you about from the last since we spoke last. I mean, it's been quite a week or so. I'm pretty...
Quite some stuff to catch up on.
Dude, this is the first time in a...
But first of all,
yes.
we gotta settle one thing.
Yeah.
Can we still agree on a very strong Bavarian-American transatlantic relationship that you and I embrace and worship? Because I fear on the political
stage...
This
seems like a very loaded question.
I feel like on the political stage...
What do you mean? What do you mean?
That relationship, like, I don't know, could be hurt by now or could be weakened a little bit. As you might know, last week has been the Munich Security Conference. In Munich, obviously. A huge thing, all NATO allies, etc. Zelensky was there. Kamala Harris was there. And Kamala Harris, I don't know if you have Instagram open. Kamala Harris... landed on Munich Airport on Thursday. and was greeted by who? Dr. Magnus Söder.
Yeah.
Our very own Bavarian, like, okay, prime minister, kind of. And regardless of what you think of Markus Söder,
yeah,
I think everyone can agree on he really likes to be the center of the attention. He has a big ego. And Kamala Harris posted this photo, okay, on Instagram from her arrival at Munich Airport, and she took that one shot where you see her walking, completely hiding her host, Markus Söder. Like, you only see his legs, and the rest of his body is covered by her because she took that one shot where she walks by him and you cannot see him. So I'm not sure if Bavaria is still interested in having relations with the United States of America.
I'm trying to find that picture right here. I see one image. I think there's a little bit of a delay on my end. I don't mean to interrupt if I do. I see an image of them like sharing one of those big Bavarian. Oh, hello.
Yeah.
There we are. I lost you for a second. Sorry. Are you back? Wow. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I could hear you all the time.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, the screen of you and I together just went away for a second, but it came back.
I found an image of them sharing.
Yeah, show me if you can screen share. Show me what you see there. I see the welcome
to
Bavaria.
I just sent you the link in.
This is so funny.
Dude.
What a clash of worlds, huh? One of the best. Go ahead.
Dude, we have to get back synced somehow. I just sent the link in the chat here. Anyways,
chat. Okay, let me see. Yeah, here.
I think that might be a problem for Bavarian American relations, but probably yours truly, Jordan Prince, might be here to fix that.
Let's not go crazy. Let's not get crazy here. Let's see. I am not trying to share my screen. Let me close out of there. There we go. Okay. dude, I as this loads, I guess it's definitely my internet that's doing this. I have to blame Telecom, by the way. Telecom, you are monsters and you're thieves and you're so vicious. Wow. Okay, I see the photo now. This is hilarious. They shared that on her official page?
Yeah.
So it's definitely more about her and not about the relationship.
Yeah, it truly is. And obviously, like, I believe as well as her team, like, are professionals. And if it would have been like Olaf Scholz, like the Chancellor of Germany, they wouldn't have done that. But obviously, for an American vice president, it could be that a Bavarian, so a regional federal head of government, is not as important. But live in Bavaria,
for the image, like for image sake, to share a photo where you block the person you have met, that is quite a statement. Even if they didn't intend on that, like probably knowing Americans, they were like, "This is a wonderful photo of our vice president standing amongst military as she arrives in Germany," and then they just thought like maybe that was a security guard behind her in the moment. Maybe they didn't know that it was the most important person that she was meeting that day.
Like, Markus Söder has the stature that he could be a security guard. Like,
totally.
Big guy, like 6 foot something. Like
quiet, burly.
He's not quiet.
No, that's true. He's not so quiet.
His ego, I don't know how that took that.
Whoa, but, dude. Have you checked out the comments on this photo? On this photo blast, it's only I've scrolled down like 20 or 30 so far. It's only requests for ceasefire. It's only about Palestine. Wow. Yeah. Wow. There's not. Wow. This is really crazy. Okay, there's one. I just saw one from 24 hours ago, but the last 24 hours since then, it's like hundreds of people only talking. That's really crazy. No, but this is funny because, I mean, the photo is very funny because I was thinking about Kamala the other day, because some comedian said, and I forgot who, that's gonna kill me. Some comedian said that Kamala, like the issue, well, besides the obvious issues, the comical issue between Biden and Trump running again, is that they're just so old. And somebody said, "Come on, Kamala, you're just one small nudge away. Like, just next time you're at the top of a staircase, you're one small sneeze or cough, just a little bump, and you're president. Come on, first female president, first female president of color. All these things. She could be a young president, but man, I can't believe in the same era that we have, like, a youthful woman of color in the White House in general, that still, it's almost like a compensation, like a payment for having that we have to have two of the oldest white guys in history. Yeah. Like, them running this year, I saw Jon Stewart talking about this, them running this year breaks the record that they set 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, of like the oldest person running in office, whoever wins this time will break the world record of themselves.
isn't Joe Biden both like one of the youngest senators ever, as well as the oldest president?
That sounds right.
I sent you this video. There's hilarious footage of Joe Biden in the 70s, like being a 30 years old governor and senator.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty entertaining.
Dude, that footage of him, if you guys listening haven't seen it, there's a really famous clip going around right now of Joe Biden, quite young, you know, maybe 30, looks like maybe 30, 32, something like that. But it's 70s, so he looks a bit older than he is. Everyone in the 70s looks so much older than they were. It's really crazy. But you can tell, like, if you really pay attention, he's probably like 30. But I gotta say, that last two frames where he's telling this guy, like, "You guys trying to tell me you didn't know that?" And he's super handsome. He had a real charm about him that I'd never saw in his older age.
Yeah, you know? I believe the caption of that video on Twitter was like, "Oh my God, 70s Joe Biden is giving me so hard Saul Goodman vibes."
Yeah, Saul Goodman. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh man, I actually, that was him in his older age doing this like sort of bad boy thing with the aviator sunglasses. I saw it more as like a gimmick, especially when Stephen Colbert mocked it so perfectly. So I stopped seeing it as like I never really saw it as like a cool thing, but I saw it even less cool once I saw the jokes about it. But seeing him as like this young guy, like someone that I could connect with, like, oh, that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's my age, probably 32, 33. Like, wow, that's cool, man. All right. Nice. Like, that's the first time I saw him as like kind of a cool guy. But you have to go back 40 years, you know.
That's true, yeah.
Or 50 but years. Yeah, God,
that's gonna be a weird year, like for American politics.
It's been coming.
Last time
up
we
so
did an election episode, remember that? We put so much effort into it and made like a 2-hour election episode last time.
I really think that's still one of my most favorite episodes that we did, was the election episode for Trump, because also, It was cool to hear from different perspectives. Like, I was very surprised my dad sent in an opinion on that, which we did play, and we have a few different other perspectives on the whole thing. But it was interesting to see just where people stand and what they thought was about to change, because it felt like the world was really about to change.
Yeah.
And if you ask most people, I guess, at least in our generations, like Gen Z and Millennial, they would say that the world really changed after that. I mean, not even just politically, but in general, this feeling of how the times and the social structures have been affected since that election through the pandemic, overtake of like democratic power, which caused even a darker conflict on the right side, and how that separation grew even further, and now how it's kind of come raging back. I would say I'm very sure Trump will win. which is really an insane thing. But I've been asked by so many Germans in the last few weeks what I think about that. And I think it would be naive to say that he doesn't have a very good shot, because he's just collected such an army.
Yeah,
it's really crazy.
I feel like that's the main difference to compared to the last election. Like, last time was like, okay, this is the last chance to get someone else in office rather than Trump. And now it feels like everyone is kind of delusional and is like, yeah, he's gonna do it somehow. And I get that, because the experience is, when you read any news about Trump, is he's on trial there, he's on trial here, but somehow he will get through it with his, like, I know how much money he still has, since that just has been a case that he's not so truthful about.
Trump's how not wealthy, so truthful. Come on, you're crazy.
How wealthy he actually is. But yeah, you feel like, okay, this is so crazy. This guy has done things that should lead to, no matter of his political views, but what he has done should lead to a point where you are excluded from being able to run for any position in government.
Right.
But it seems just like he has built the infrastructure around him and set the right people in the right position for his for himself. To just not, like, have any consequences with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because exactly. if it runs down to the Supreme Court, he knows he got like six of his guys sitting there.
I'm also just so fascinated by. Let me get out of the VP Instagram here. Like, I think we talked. Did we talk about it on last week's episode about the was that you that we talked about with the red burning eyes?
Yeah, we Dark Brandon. Like, yeah, we talked about it.
That's
like
it. That's why you sent that. That's right. That's why you sent that message. I was just looking here to see if it is still up, because that is horrifying. It has 1 million likes. Right, that was the whole thing about Taylor Swift, yeah, after the Chiefs won. Just like we drew it up at Chiefs, and it's a picture of himself with these burning, raging Satan eyes. This is the kind of image that the right would use as the propaganda for them saying that he's like some, you know, Pizzagate kid-touching sort of like insane person. Mm. This is like... not smart of them, I think, to do this.
I'm still not sure whether it's not smart or it's super smart.
That's fair. It has but, over a million likes, which is pretty insane.
Yeah, probably it's like, I don't know. It seems like regarding all the stories about, yo, does this guy still have a memory? Does he remember what he's doing? Does he remember the names of his, like the people he's dealing with on top political level internationally, et cetera, et cetera? I feel like this is an attempt to show, like, yeah, I still got it. I still get what you kids are doing around the internet and what you're laughing about. And so I'll participate in that.
I think these two comments under this post answer this question in the two best possible ways. There's a question under this insane post that says, why did the president post this? And there are two answers that are very opposite answers, and I think if you put them together, it's the solution. One answer is, hey, he's mocking the conspiracy theorists, because it is a conspiratorial image for sure. It's propaganda against him that he's posting. So that could be, like you're saying, the super smart choice. And I think it's most likely that, right? And the contradictory answer to that is, the old sack has been asleep since 6 p.m. This is some weird assistant thinking they're funny. Which could also be the case. Because, I mean, nothing's going to get on the official president's Instagram without a lot of litigation and filtering. I'm sure it's not just some 19-year-old in like an H&M suit or something, like sending this stuff out. There's no chance. So, but I'm sure it's all a gimmick, you know.
Having worked in social media for a media outlet, whenever like at BR,
Right.
We posted something that had a sense of humor, etc., or was going towards a direction of memes, etc. Obviously, you have a lot of people that will not like it because it's just not their like sense of humor, etc.
Right.
And so the most German comment you would find under every like comical post was like, "Hä, war eurem Praktikanten wieder langweilig?" So like, was your intern that bored that he posted that or she?
Right, exactly. It's funny to think what they think the
how this works.
Exactly how the system is. Yeah, and to be clear, to make it very clear, the weird post of his eyes is on the Joe Biden page. He does have a completely separate page for at POTUS, like for at President of the United States page. That's a very completely separate page where there are no jokes or gimmicks. It's all very, very, as you would imagine, like very user-friendly, clear, pretty images of him, you know, shaking hands with construction workers and meeting with world leaders and stuff like what's his face from Germany? Homeboy. A guy.
To cite Joe Biden there, Mitterrand from Germany.
Come on, the guy, what's his name? Come on. Not Merkel, but you're gonna hold this out on me, aren't you? Come on, I'm looking at him. Schultz.
Yes,
Olaf? Is it Olaf?
It is Olaf.
Like the snowman.
You didn't know that?
I did, but I just forgot that it's the snowman's name too.
He's just like the snowman, yeah.
He melts under pressure. I don't even know what his policies are like. That was just a very easy joke to make.
Fair one.
Like both of them under a third degree interrogation lamp, they both melt. Oh, Jesus, man. All right, let's get out of politics.
Yeah, but talking about professional social media, when will you hire the first person to manage your accounts?
I still have quite a ways to go before I can hire anybody. I am finally at the point where I've hired people to film things for me at a proper rate, and I do have a friend who has been editing, like, for those for you or for those who have seen any of these clips of the stand-up show from the Milla last month, the general footage and like syncing of the sound is done by a different editor friend who lives in Portugal. He sends me like the full clip with everything sort of spliced between the two cameras, and then all the punchy sort of post-production work that makes it very internet friendly, that's done by me at the last step. But I have been very thankful enough to be able to afford someone who can film it properly and someone who can sync it and color correct it nicely for me, because I'm just so bad with these like really super detail oriented steps. I'm better at like, okay, here's a more or less finished product. I could post it like this, but maybe I would find it a little boring, although it's like professional. And then my thing is almost butchering it, because then it goes into my free phone editors like on CapCut or TikTok, and then I literally do everything with these two fingers, like squinching it in and then syncing it up and then squinching it in.
That's so crazy.
It's wild that that's sort of the norm now, that you can really get away with the butchering footage, but it's like these zoom-ins are just so essential. Like, it just keeping people's attention is so essential. And as long as, for me, as the content that I'm putting out, as long as the words that I'm saying or the jokes that I'm setting up, I think are of value, I have no problem changing the visual context around it so that it fits the culture. But if there were no good words or good content or good jokes and I was still manipulating the footage, then it would feel fake. And I think that's that's an important line to draw, I think.
But I feel like that's an interesting point as well for people who might not know. You like have an education in film, and the style of your videos, I think, is not necessarily a decision that you took out of your own like taste of what you like, but rather than, okay, this is the just like you said, I wanna put my humor, my jokes into that form that works on these platforms.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like the internet is moving so fast, and if you start like to kind of get a leg up in the competition, which is plentiful and ever growing, you kind of have to keep an eye out for what's working. And you can have, there's this one department that I keep an eye on, which is my goal towards the end of all this, which is there is content that is very well shot and isn't abusive with its editing, but still gets good traction. And the difference is that it has very, very good quality content. Like, it's shot on a nice camera, it's edited clean, the audio quality is perfect, and most importantly, the host or what's being given to the viewer is quality entertainment. It can be a still shot, but if the joke is funny and the content is funny, or it's just entertaining, or it's gripping enough, like, that high quality content will be fine enough as it is. But there's this huge middle zone that I'm currently in, which is above like total amateur, but I was total amateur for a long time, and now I'm in this middle zone, which is a combination of very well shot, but also playing with these amateur effects, because you have content that goes extremely viral, but unfortunately is sort of abusing people's attention spans. It like it is sort of just like the natural way that things have been manipulated or formed over time on the internet. But there's just this technique of how, like, to break it down into the simplest way that I can describe it for someone who has no idea about any sort of thing about editing or about film or TV or anything, the language of, like, the language of recording a video of someone on the internet, and by language I mean how close or far away you are from the person talking, and how quickly you cut from this image of the close-up of their reaction to the wide shot of three people slapping their knee laughing at the fact that they broke character or whatever. Like, the language of how that footage looks to a viewer is very different on your phone than it is from how you see it on the television. And eventually, like, professionally speaking, I think most people tend to, after a while, still end up in this television editing style, which is clean and simple and digestible, but the host or the content is strong. And in that gray zone where I am, is still like having to play by the rules of the internet editing standards, which are a bit more fast-paced, crash zooming, you know. It's more active because you're competing with 100 billion posts in a day. No. How can you keep the person scrolling on your video for long enough that the view count is added to the overall numbers, and that it's long enough for someone to enjoy it enough that maybe they like it, maybe they comment on it, maybe they follow the creator? It's a lot of competition, so you have to kind of play by the rules of the industry that you're within, and that's kind of where I've found myself recently. So it almost has nothing to do, like what I'm doing with the videos online. I'm very sure that I could have come to the techniques that I'm using now without having gone to film school at all. But I'm very grateful for having that foundation, so that when I can evolve out of it into what I want to do eventually, longer form content on YouTube, for example, like maybe talk show style things with skits or interviews, that I will have that foundation to know how those things can look good and look professional. Yeah.
But like, is there one of these, like you call them, like, internet rules that you would like to avoid? Like, one thing that immediately comes to mind you would like to avoid if you could afford it, basically?
Sure. I mean, I have a kind of rule of thumb that I routinely stick to. There's sort of two that I'll always play with the most. I never voiced it out loud in words. It's just an instinct that I do when I'm cutting it, but it's definitely a very important aspect to my style, which is like never leaving a breath of space between the first scene
mm-hmm.
and the second scene and so on and so forth. So if you have like a, let's say I'm talking directly to camera about something that I'm doing, the last like frame of that perspective, like of me, like let's say I'm holding it, I'm going to say one sentence and I'm going to cut. The last word of that sentence has to coincide with like the last frame of footage. So it literally the word has to end the nanosecond that that frame is cut. And then the next one I do, let's say I take my phone to a different angle and start a new sentence or continuing that thought, then the first word has to coincide with like the nanosecond of that first frame. So it almost mm-hmm. always consecutively feels like one entertaining sentence. Although that's not how people talk. It's just the way the internet language has forced you to do it. So that way there's never a break long enough between the first sentence I've said and the second sentence I've said for someone to get bored. And it sucks because that's not how people talk. And it's not like you're kind of having to play by these manipulation rules to keep attention when if there was, you know, that's just how the internet has forced things over time. And I think that's even now slightly reverting back to longer form content where you don't have to do that, because even TikTok now is encouraging 10-minute or longer videos. They're trying to compete with YouTube because YouTube is still king, even though TikTok has a billion users and people will still always make short form content. They're still like TikTok has changed how they pay creators. Like I had to mandatorily, like no exception, I had to switch out of the TikTok Creator Fund, which they discontinued in December. I had to switch out of that into the Creative Beta Project Fund. It's like slightly named slightly mm-hmm. different, which means they only pay for videos over 1 minute.
Oh, so, okay.
So almost every single successful creator has now started going from like 15 to 30 to 45 second videos on the norm to 1 minute, 1 seconds, 1 minute, 2 seconds, sometimes even longer. But now I'm consciously thinking of that because that makes it more difficult for me to do an easy cross-platform posting.
No.
Because YouTube Shorts are really strict about 59, 60 seconds. So that means I have to do a second edit for YouTube Shorts, which sucks, unless I want to do like a full-blown video, which I don't often want to do. But they don't really pay for much anyway until you're doing like big numbers. But I have to aim now for TikTok being over 1 minute for the most part. And then I can switch it over to Reels. But it's a whole annoying thing.
But do you still work like TikTok first and then from that you bring your content to Instagram?
Well, TikTok for me is the only app that's still consistently paying me.
Okay.
So I right now, like, I still make a lot of short content because the thing is that posting 7 days a week, I can't make 90-second entertaining videos every day. It's so exhausting. So sure, there's still many days often that the videos are shorter. Sometimes it's just using a trending sound. Sometimes it's using a trending joke that I turn into content that fits for my channel. But I am far more conscious of saying, okay, well, I'm going to do a sketch, a classic Johannes and Jordan discussing something sketch. Let's push it to at least 1 minute, 1 second.
No.
And the good thing about Reels is that you can directly upload it the same. I think Reels accepts up to 90 seconds. So the only thing I have to trim down for is for YouTube Shorts. And now I have to start posting more on LinkedIn, apparently, which is so exhausting too. It's another platform, which doesn't even pay.
Why do you need to post your Reels on LinkedIn?
Because I'm finding out more and more through people who write me and through the agency that there are so many... I didn't realize how insanely important LinkedIn is.
Yeah.
I thought it was like like 2 years ago, I thought LinkedIn was a website that nobody uses anymore because I didn't use it. Like I thought it was like this completely, it's so funny. It's like, it's like a band I thought broke up because I stopped buying their CDs or something. I just thought it was something that no one cares about. That's just like, oh, it's for, you know, accountants and like IT firms or something. And not only did my agency really fight me on that mentality, but I've had a lot of people who work what I would call, you know, normal jobs. So working in any kind of company that isn't like being the person in front of the camera. And they've all said like, whoa, whoa, no, 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 no. LinkedIn is huge. It's like one of the most successful social media platforms in the world still, like very, very competitive. And I've had people reach out to me on there who are like asking that the content can be shared more so that it can reach these like vast groups of people who don't use TikTok or don't use Instagram, but they only use LinkedIn. And even the agency told me recently, I had to do it a few months ago, but I had to completely like reboot my entire profile to update it, like adding the new content, adding the new descriptions of what I do. And yeah, it's a whole like other thing now that I didn't even think about, you know?
That's crazy. I hate really LinkedIn.
I hate it too. It's not cool. It doesn't feel cool, to be honest.
No, it's not cool. It's just like, I feel, because I'm on this, like I'm doing kind of quotation marks research on LinkedIn, because I so often hear like people talking, and I don't know, I've been to conferences, etc. And at the end of the conference, everyone's like, yeah, get your phone out, we need to connect on LinkedIn. And I was like, I'm not on LinkedIn. And everybody was like, what? You're not on LinkedIn? And then I always ask people, like, what do you actually, like, do you actually benefit from that? Do you get cool job offers or getting important contacts or anything? And most people say no. The only group of people I, like, that's my subjective, like, experience now, right, that really told me that they got, like, good job offers, etc., are just, like you said, like, IT guys or engineers, etc. But in media, where I work, all, like, in my experience, all LinkedIn is a bunch of people, like, metaphorically jerking off on how awesome they are in, like, being the person in front of the camera or being the person that's covering super important topics for this online medium, etc.
Right, right.
It's like, yeah, I did this, I did that, I just
congratulate me on my work anniversary.
Yeah, exactly. You better like my success in my job. You're like, fuck you.
it's so weird. It's such a different world. And like, I can't imagine seeing like a professional comedian or a professional musician on LinkedIn, but then you look for them and they're there. It's so weird. It doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make sense at all to me. And maybe it's just like I think like elder millennials and up just use it so much. If I think about my brother, for example, he's like a star on LinkedIn. Like that's his
You could call him Jordan Prince of LinkedIn.
Yeah, he's the Jordan Prince of LinkedIn. Like, he showed me his profile when I visited last year, and it was like all these crazy connections, and he's got all these like fans who appreciate all his work updates and stuff, and it's just so not my world. But I could see like, okay, there's like a whole thing happening there that I'm just so disconnected from. It's crazy.
I feel a little bit like it's pre Elon Twitter, you gotta say, pre Elon Twitter, but without the fun.
Without the memes, fun.
without the niche-y, like, groups with their special needs. It's just like Twitter without the fun. Just like official posting statements.
LinkedIn, Twitter without the fun. Dude, let me take
Twitter.
It's German Twitter. Let me keep rolling. I'm going to take a quick pee break, and then I can tell you about the embassy from last night.
Yes, sir.
All right, big dog.
Yo, yo. just before I forget.
Yeah.
If you ever need someone like shooting and doing basic editing for you, etc., a very good friend of mine just like started as a freelancer, got good experience, just bought a new camera and stuff, and is always looking for jobs. Super easy to work
nice,
with.
Nice, man. Yeah, give me his contact. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'll send you his contact.
Dude, so yeah, last night I have to tell you about this event that I went to. We were supposed to record yesterday, but I was traveling on the train for most of yesterday. Like, I think it was 8.5 hours total of traveling on trains, which is really not recommended. I really would not do that. But still faster than going by car. But a few days ago, about a week ago, I was invited. I got this text from my agency that said like, "Hey, Jordan, you just got the craziest invitation," and it was this very, very official sounding invitation that was like, "Let me just let me look at it here real quick. I can just you got an invitation. Sounds so crazy. So here, it's very official sounding. In honor of the 74th Berlinale and saluting German-American cooperation in the entertainment industry, the Ambassador of the United States of America, Dr. Amy Gutman, in partnership with Studio Babelsberg, the Motion Picture Association, Morrison & Forster, and Big Image, request the pleasure of the company of Mr. Jordan Prince at a reception.
Request the pleasure of the company. What a great sentence.
Dude, request the pleasure of the company. That's so nice. Of Mr. Jordan Prince at a reception on Tuesday, February 20th. Yeah, from 5:30 to 7:30. Location, U.S. Embassy, Berlin. Which, for those who don't know, the embassy is literally right under one of the most historically famous tourist attractions in the entire city, the Brandenburger Tor. Like, it's literally under it, which is so crazy to me. It's in the Pariser Platz, which is the location there under the Brandenburger Tor. If you've never Googled the Brandenburger Tor, it's breathtaking. It's like, you know, say what you want about them Nazis, they sure did make some pretty buildings, man.
Actually, it is a little bit older than the Nazis, to be fair.
I guess I should say they knew what to keep around.
But very quickly about that, and I don't want to distract too much, but
No, go ahead.
Last time I really was on social media, like a few months ago, or it could already be a year, I'm not sure. But anyway, there was this trend of like fashion influencers or whatsoever realizing that Hugo Boss, you know Hugo Boss?
Yeah, sure.
That he already like equipped the Nazis, like he designed the uniforms, etc.
That's right, yeah.
And people on the internet were like, "Damn, look at how good the fits of the Nazis were, and how awesome their uniforms were." And obviously, a lot of people were like, "Yeah, but still." But obviously, you have like Gen Z fashion influencers from the States or from Japan or wherever who don't care as much about like German history and the Nazis, etc. And like, wow, this is awesome. But to get back to the Brandenburger Tor, to get our historic facts straight, the Brandenburger Tor is way older than the Nazis.
They just, you know, I'm just saying, like, you know, they knew what to keep around, you know. No, it's really, it's so crazy. Like, I think I do tend to forget that, like, these beautiful, 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 beautiful places were just absorbed by them. They were just taken into their custody and, like, turned into, you know, headquarters for things. Like the music school in Munich, it's gorgeous. But, of course, it was, like, Hitler's headquarters. It's really insane. But, yes, so I'm looking at a picture of it right now, and, like, literally at the main entrance of this hugely famous tourist attraction, as you can imagine, if you're not looking at it, it's just all these old buildings with, you know, tall pillars, gorgeous statues held by, you know, like acid rain torn statues of horses and angels with, like, you know, turquoise blue stained imagery. And there's a building connected to it right there at the tourist center that is the U.S. Embassy of Berlin. And it's really so wild that I was there yesterday. It feels like there's no way that I could have done that in one day. But so like I said, I just read the invitation just 6 or 7 days ago. I got the invitation for that. And at first I decided I wasn't going to go. It seemed like a lot of work because we can get to that later too. But the weekend before, just last weekend, a few days ago, I was in Berlin already because, the film festival, this famous film festival, Berlinale, or as I heard it said by this American lady giving a speech last night, the Berlinale.
Berlinale.
The Berlinale. It's a big film festival with a lot of...
Or as Johannes would say, Berlinale.
It's the Berlinale. And I was in Berlin. And there's so many events going on. There's, it's like you would imagine, you know, like Sundance or Toronto Film Festival or something. It's a film festival all across the city. There's screenings of films that are up for you know, different various awards. And there's a lot of celebrities in town. And there's like special events and red carpets and blah, blah, blah.
Scorsese was there, I read.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I did see them putting up pictures of his films in this event yesterday, but I wasn't sure exactly how it was connected. But yeah, I eventually was convinced by the agency, like, look, this is a really nice invitation. This could be a really great networking opportunity. It's the Berlinale, so there's probably a lot of people from different like streaming networks and television networks and producers there. And I was like, well, I'm not great at just approaching strangers, especially in Germany, but like, sure, let's do it. So frantically last weekend, while in Berlin already, I went and got like a new suit, which is still a little, it's still casual enough that I can wear it. But the dress code for this event is cocktail or business, which I am not used to wearing. Like, I assumed with cocktail, I imagine like tuxedos. You know what I mean? Some guy was there last night wearing a barber's raincoat and a dirty baseball hat. And I thought, maybe I didn't have to buy a suit. If this guy can just walk in with that, Jesus.
That's German cocktail.
It's probably some German actor, some German famous German actor. So I decided to go. I got the suit. And then yesterday I left at like 10 in the morning, took this long train, and finally got to the city, killed a couple of hours in the afternoon, like got a coffee, looked around a bit. And then before I knew it, it was already, you know, 5:15. The doors were open from 5, so I knew I could just go in. The event was supposed to end at 7:30, and I had a train at like 8:05. So I knew I immediately had to leave when it was over, which I grew to regret later because it definitely was not going to end at 7:30. But I went in there. And it was just the most, like, I've only been to embassies with the requirement of needing to get, like, a passport renewed or something. And it's so, usually so intense. I assumed going into this, I was going to be entering into, like, I assumed it was a trick to get me deported. The Germans were like, we're sick of this guy making fun of us. He's not funny.
We've seen enough.
Wir sind fertig. I don't like him anymore. We're done with you, Mr. Prince. I went in there like I was really scared that like I kept triple checking my suit and triple. I had one little bag because the email was like, you absolutely under no circumstances can bring a plus one. And I was like, okay, so no Berlin friends can come for funsies. And then I thought, and then the next thing was like, no tablets, no phones, no laptops, like super, super strict things. And I thought, okay, well, I'm not going to bring a laptop in there, but I thought maybe I could take some video, which I found out later I could, but it also had its own rules. It was very, very spooky for me. Like, I'm not good with airport security or like embassy security. I kept going through my bag. I had a little tiny bag of like a t-shirt for the drive home. So that way, if I fall asleep, I don't like sweat into this white button-up shirt, you know? And I had like my wallet and I brought my passport. I brought a phone charger. I thought, oh, I really hope they let me in with this phone charger. It's an electronic, but I don't know. Maybe they'll think it's a bomb or something. But it was so funny walking into this room because walking in, you are in America.
Yeah.
You go in this building, you're an American, and you're only spoken to and greeted by other Americans. I only met two Germans last night. At the whole event, and that's a whole other thing to get into. But so I get to the door. Oh, I just heard my let me just mute that tab real quick. I get into the building. They scan this code. They check my passport. They give me a card. I get in. Someone greets me with they take the card from me. They shake my hand. It's like, oh, I'm the social media manager for the embassy, and it was a part of us getting you to be here. We're so happy you're here. And I was like, oh, thank you. That's so nice. And then I was immediate, like, as soon as you enter the door, someone takes your coat and someone took my bag. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And I was immediately like put in front of two very important people who I didn't know who they were.
And who were they? And
I don't know.
You still don't know.
I still don't know. Like, everyone was like, it was like the shaking hands with two very important people, that there was like a whole press junket of people, like photographers taking pictures of whoever shakes their hand. It was like meeting the queen or something, and I don't know who they were, and they're American, so they were super nice.
Tomorrow we'll see images of you shaking Anthony Blinken's hand, like, who the fuck is that dude?
Dude, I imagine I'm shaking hand with like someone who committed treason or something, like princes associated with someone who committed crimes against the country. I shake these two older guys' hands. They knew who I was, which was really impressive. I didn't think these older guys would. I thought it was going to be some, you know, younger social media manager or something that knows me. So they were very nice. And then they told me to go do my red carpet photos, which I have never done in my life. And talk about being so uncomfortable. I was literally like shaking. I had to put my hands like kind of in my pocket to keep myself from so visibly shaking, because I've never had any type of media training, and being put right onto some kind of red carpet with those banners behind you of like the ads and the production companies, and having like seven people call out your name to look at them for a proper photo, is really, really uncomfortable. It's really like a nerve-wracking 20, 30 seconds, you know, like, Jordan, over here, whatever, whatever. And it's, I really wanted to like be nice and give everyone a proper photo, but I thought, like, do they do that? Does everyone give it, do people give every photographer their moment, or do you just kind of look into the distance and try and smile and then you just walk off? And I felt super stressed about that. And then finally it was over. Someone like kind of tapped me like, okay, you can move on. They gave me my stuff back. I took it to a coat check. And then I got into the main room. And this is where things calmed down for a second. I got into the main room. It wasn't totally full yet. They were passing some like shrimp, you know, hors d'oeuvres around, like little appetizers. They had free champagne, so I knocked back like three of those. And I was in this room where the soundtrack of the night was famous film soundtracks. So I walked into like the soundtrack from Gladiator or something, like dun 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 dun, and I felt super stressed out. And I saw these film posters of like films that the German production companies had assisted in making, like Asteroid City, and the most recent Hunger Games movie. It was like Studio Babelsberg or whatever. And I thought, okay, this is really like a film fest event for sure. Like, this is not some, it's not as much embassy as much as it is like film fest. And that was a little bit more relaxing for me. And dude, I took another champagne. I stood in this corner and I thought to myself, this is where I'm going to be. So, you know, I'm really lucky that the guy I met at the door knows me, but this is it. Like, no one else is going to know me here. I'm going to be in this corner and I'm going to have, you know, seven or eight more champagnes, and then I'm going to leave, and no one's going to know that I was here. Yeah. And that mentality changed so quickly, because immediately I was met by someone who like pushed through people to get over to me. And immediately wanted a photo and was saying they thought that I was coming, but they weren't sure, and da 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 da. And from that moment on, I wasn't left alone until I had to leave to catch my train.
That's crazy.
I have never had an experience like that. I was met by, like, you know, people of all ages, like people in their 20s up to people in their, like, I don't know, maybe, you know, late 60s, and the whole range of things. It was, I was treated so nice, Germans and Americans alike, people who knew my stuff. There was one woman who didn't know me but was so fascinated by the amount of people coming up to me, but that she kept coming and making fun of me, like, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Everyone stops you. I don't know who you are. And she kept making me laugh. And then there was like little burger sliders, and I met some dude. And then I was like approached by this guy who was such a diehard fan, and he was like, he works for like Netflix and Paramount Plus and Comedy Central. And I was like, oh my God, what is going on? And then I realized, like, oh, this is what these kinds of events are. This is what this is. This is like people who meet talent and then they kind of make a connection with them. And dude, I left that party Like, that party went on much later. Like, I could have definitely stayed, but I had to catch a train home. I left, and that jacket that I bought to wear to that event, I opened in the train. I had like 10 business cards of like people from the embassy who wanted to do like partnership videos with the U.S. embassy. Had people from Netflix, from Paramount Plus, from Comedy Central, like conductors who travel and do promotional projects for films. It was really single-handedly one of the wildest experiences I've ever had, and I cannot believe that I was a part of that.
Dude, like the pace we're on, the pace this is all coming for you. I'm now expecting that, like, in 1 year time, we will have that Emmy Award episode.
I don't know about that, man. That might be some years away. If that happens, that'll be some years. But I really,
dude, but it's awesome. I'm just so... like all I can say is like congratulations. Like you just like. like fell into something that like every step seems to work out right now. And that's just great.
I'm really hoping that like I have to try and keep myself aware that that like you know you get such a high adrenaline and you get such high expectations out of such praise and such acceptance of who you are and what you do that I have to try and remind myself like I can enjoy briefly this high of this experience, but that, you know, this is what happens at these events and that's what these people do. And I didn't, strangely enough though, I tend to have a good radar for these things, but I didn't find anybody who seemed ingenuine. Like I didn't meet anyone who gave me this feeling of like they're just hunting for the talent or that you know, they're just there talking to me because someone told them they have to or should or something. Like this particular guy, I'm looking at his LinkedIn right now. Actually, it's on on my page. But I met this guy who is this, you know, pretty higher up dude at these production companies, from what I can tell. And he was such a sweet German guy who was such a fan and wanted a selfie to show his kids because they're fans too. And it was like, this is so... I think I might have, at least for now, it seems like I might have struck this perfect chord right down the center of like just actually nice people who like what I'm doing. And I also found out, just to sprinkle the last bit of like sugar on top of this breakfast bowl, I found out that Sharon Stone was at this event. At the very end, they told me she was standing near the front of the stage when people were giving these speeches. Sadly, I did not get to meet her. I should have really fought through the crowd to try and find her. But then at the end, it's like, what am I going to do? Just tell her, like, everyone's told her for the past 40 years that they're a big fan, you know? Maybe it was better that I didn't, so I didn't embarrass myself or something. But she was there in the same room, which is insane to me. And all these movie posters were all around the place of all these films that I guess were in co-production with some sort of German company. And that's why I saw like Flower Moon and Goodfellas and all these other Scorsese's that were so big. Do you know, by the way, this is the last thing I'll say about it, but do you know this content creator duo, which is Comedy Magic, called Siegfried and Joy?
Yeah. I once sent you a reel of theirs, like where they do this thing with the
shimmering curtain or whatever.
Yeah, and they do this at the subway station in Berlin, and this grumpy German guy comes up, and they're like shaking this cloth or curtain or whatever, and let it fall down, and he's just like, "What the fuck?" and turning around and going back down the stairs.
Wasn't that guy like a political figure? Wasn't he? Was he just a grump, or wasn't he? I think he was accidentally like a person of.
That could be, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. I didn't go that deep.
I couldn't tell if maybe you told me that or someone else told me that. But I remember that. I remember that video. Those two guys were there, and they were wearing star-shaped sunglasses.
Nice.
I wanted to see them on, like, I really didn't want to go because the party was really rolling and they were about to open up this like America store within the embassy that you could buy like all these American snacks. And I really wanted to do that. But sadly I had planned everything expecting it to be just like kind of a, You know, I kind of went into, like, I think Ify and I, too, we both just all thought of it was going to be sort of an event, what do you call it, like a mandatory thing of, like, just showing face, meeting a few business people, and then just kind of being bored and sneaking out. But it was so the opposite of that.
But I feel like it probably still is that, but that's just how these kind of events might look these days. And I feel that, like, just like you said, you didn't mean anyone who was ingenuine or anything. I guess if it's your job, like, to kind of professionally hook up with people like you when you're working for production companies, that's probably how you do it these days. Mm-hmm. Plus, I think one big point might be that, like, people are so nice because what you do, like, reaches them so directly and so privately. You're not this faraway guy that, I don't know, was away for 6 months, came back and brought a movie that brought him to stardom or anything. Like, you're in people's everyday lives, in their pockets.
Right.
People are watching those reels with their kids at home, and you're in a normal surrounding, etc. So that makes you kind of, like, easy to I don't know, identify with or anything.
I love being in people's pants.
Jordan Prince. That could be a super funny quote or a career ender.
Oh, Jesus, man. Yeah, that was a really... That was a really crazy event,
and
I hope something comes from that. If not, even that was just a good experience of, like, oh, I really shouldn't skip out on these events. This was like I almost didn't go, just because of the complications of going back and forth from Munich to Berlin within like a 2-day window. But now I know that if I get invited to these things again, I'm not going to skip it, because it's such an honor to be invited to such a major film festival in such a major city. Where all these potential interactions can happen. And also, just even if you wouldn't meet anybody, just the flattery of invitation is so sweet and so heartwarming. It's like that alone is recognition enough of what you're doing that you don't need any further validation of anyone coming up to you with a business card. Like, just being there is like, hey, I earned a spot of like a direct invitation. That's so nice, you know?
One question I have left regarding that whole event, like, knowing that you've always, since I've known you, like, struggled with your connection to the USA, and it's home, but it's so far away, and you have a lot of issues with it, but still it is home, etc. So all these kind of things, what did it mean to you that, like, the US embassy, so, like, the official delegation, the official representation of your home country, like, reaching out to you and wanting you to be there? What did that do to you?
It was a really, it's a shock, man, because it's kind of a crazy honor, I think, to be seen by such a, you know, respected representation of your country. For me, that was really crazy. I mean, I don't know, did I tell you about the Munich embassy invitation as well?
You mentioned it, but nothing concrete.
That's not in concrete yet, but, like, within the same 2 weeks, this invitation at the Berlin Embassy for the Film Fest event coincided with being invited to go and perform stand-up at the American Embassy in Munich as part of a special event they're putting on later this year in September. And having both of those invitations come my way within such a short window of time, literally just because there's enough Americans feeling represented by the jokes I'm making here in Germany, for them to fight, you know, to their boss or recommend to their superiors that I should go and be that voice between the German and American relations of entertainment or whatever. It's an insane honor, man. It's really, I feel so... I have crazy imposter syndrome. At the same time, I can kind of understand, like, maybe I don't think I'm the best option, but I can see that there's obviously some connection there that I'm very grateful for.
That's nice. Yeah. And I mean, like, for me, you're already the US ambassador of fun.
Oh.
And Germany really needs that.
Dude, that's such a I think I have to wrap it up with that, Rand. That's such a beautiful way. That's such a beautiful way to end the episode. But yeah, I'm really glad I could tell you about this story, and I'll definitely keep you and everyone listening updated on what happens with this. But I think so far it seems like this really could be a huge stepping stone year, and I'm very curious what's going to happen.
Me too.
But I have
man.
To keep. I have to keep working. I can't get comfortable.
That's the spirit.
Yeah, dude. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. It's been a real pleasure. Make sure to like and rate and subscribe and all that jazz. It really helps us out so much. We love you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Ciao.
Look out, baby. The saints are coming through. And it's all over now.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.